WTF is Retail, presented by Excellent Zephyr, your ERP, integration, and automation specialists.
All right, welcome back to WTF is Retail. Today we're joined by Thomas Robson-Kanu, founder and CEO of the Turmeric Co. They're the only functional shop backed by science, which we'll get into in a bit, as of a few weeks ago. So thanks for joining us, Thomas.
Pleasure to be here, Theo. Thank you very much for having me. I'm looking forward to it today.
Awesome. Ben's joining me as well again today, and I'm really excited for today's episode. We've been chatting with Thomas for a while, and he actually spoke at our Retail and Recession event back in March, speaking about the future of brick-and-mortar retail. So, Thomas, first question. It's fantastic to have you here. Can you please just tell us a bit about the brand, how the journey started back when you were playing professional football for Wales and in the Premier League, of course?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So I launched the Turmeric Co. in 2018, and ultimately what we were looking to do was bring a range of functional, healthy turmeric-based shots, which were actually a family recipe, to market. And the backstory of it is, as a 15-year-old, I suffered two major surgeries. And I basically ruptured my cruciate knee ligament and caused a lot of damage in, you know, my left knee in terms of cartilage and bone. And so I had to have the reconstructive surgery, which unfortunately I had to have twice. And so I went for a period of over 2.5 years without kicking a ball from the age of 15 to 17. And upon recovery of the second surgery, the surgeon actually said, "You will never play without pain or restriction again." And being really determined, you know, I wanted to play in the Premier League. I wanted to become a professional footballer. I said, you know, well, I'm going to have to go through that to ultimately come back. Through the rehabilitation, as I began to get range, begin to exercise, begin to play and train, the surgeon was right. Every time I'd go for a run or a jog, my knee would just balloon. I would take, you know, 15 minutes in the morning to get the range and flexion in my knee because of the stiffness and swelling. And so it got to a point where the physios and doctors at the club at the time then prescribed me anti-inflammatories and painkillers. And they basically said that this would take the edge off the pain, but it certainly wouldn't help cure or completely relieve the symptoms I was experiencing. So I began taking things like ibuprofen, diclofenac, paracetamol, and I went for a two-week period of basically popping them like Smarties, yeah. You know, having one or two every day of each one. And my body, after 2 weeks of using them, just basically had an adverse reaction to them. Mm-hmm. So I started passing blood in my urine, had severe nausea, couldn't sleep. And, you know, lo and behold to me, this... the instructions of these drugs, you know, they tell you this can happen.
Yeah.
You know, so, but unfortunately, no one ever reads the small print. So I basically had to stop taking these painkillers, which were kind of taking the edge off, but not dealing with the issue. And I had to stop taking them, but I was then really hampered with restriction and pain in my knee. And so it got to a point where I had played in a reserve game only 5 minutes because of the pain and restriction. I got home, my father was at mine at the time, and I went to walk up the stairs, and I literally broke down on the stairs because of the pain in getting up the stairs. And so it was at that point where my father and I, we just said, you know, there must be a natural way to recover from pain and inflammation. And actually, when you begin to break it down, you know, a lot of the drugs that we use today, you know, they have been extracted from natural ingredients, you know, natural plants, natural herbs. And so we basically went on a research binge and began identifying raw, functional, natural ingredients which could support and had been used in various different cultures over various different time periods to reduce pain and inflammation. And so we began coming across things like watermelon, things like pineapple, pomegranate, things like ginger root, and obviously subsequently turmeric root. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't about having it in a curry or in a powder or in a capsule form. It was about having it in its raw root form,
yeah,
but in a bioavailable blend. And yeah, long story short, my father and I basically sourced all of these raw ingredients, and then my dad basically began mixing them and turning them into a blend. Mm-hmm. Initially it was a paste, but after a few iterations and some direction from me, as I was a fussy kid and teenager, he eventually turned it into a golden elixir, which, you know, the first time I took it, you know, it really knocked my socks off. I was generally nutrient deficient as a teenager because my diet consisted of baked beans, plain chicken and pasta. So I wasn't used to, you know, the level of micro and macronutrients that are found in these raw ingredients. And so within 24 hours, I immediately noticed an increase in my energy. So I was like, yeah, look, I'm just going to stick to taking these. And so my dad would make these batches every 3 or 4 days, leave them in my fridge, and I was having 2 or 3 a day. And it was about after 6 weeks of using them every single day that I woke up. My usual routine is roll out of bed, head into the bathroom and into the shower. And it was at that moment in the shower that I realized that was the first time in over 2.5 years I'd woken up without any pain or restriction in my knee.
Wow.
And so it was a massive light bulb moment for me. A year later, I subsequently went on to make my first team debut, went on to make my international debut, went on to make my Premier League debut, completely pain-free.
Yeah.
And ultimately, without this blend of ultimately turmeric and other functional ingredients, I wouldn't have been able to achieve my dreams. And so, yeah, I kind of used it as my secret weapon throughout my career and got to a point in 2016 where we then began as a family realizing that there were lots of products popping up that were claiming to be turmeric or ginger shots, but actually they were 98% apple juice.
Mm-hmm.
They were using, you know, 2% turmeric powder. And so these products had zero functional benefit, and yet they were masquerading as this new health trend.
Mm-hmm.
And people were buying them. And so we realized that actually there were a lot of people who suffer from pain, suffer from chronic inflammation, suffer from chronic fatigue, who are seeking help, and they don't want to always have to rely on, you know, consuming a capsule, consuming a tablet, consuming a pill. And fundamentally what we realized that we needed to do was bring this natural range of functional, natural and high quality turmeric based shots to market. And so we made the decision to do so in 2016. And 2 years later, after having built a bespoke manufacturing facility, become a manufacturer of high quality turmeric shots, realized, you know, understood how we needed to scale in terms of that manufacture side, and then ultimately bring a brand to market. We launched the Turmeric Co. in 2018.
Awesome. And we'll get a bit further into the business in a bit, but incredible story. You've obviously benefited from the products yourself, and then when the time was right, when there was this sort of the surge in demand, should we say, brought it to market, and you've never looked back since, really, right?
Yeah, no, like, you know, obviously year on year we've seen fantastic growth. You know, we've hit points where we actually can't keep up with demand, so we have to, you know, sort of slow growth because simply we couldn't produce anymore. However, you know, we've invested heavily into the infrastructure in the business. You know, we're a manufacturing business, manufacturing to a global standard of food manufacture, something we're very proud of.
Yeah.
And also being a British manufacturer is something we're super proud of as well. You know, we've got a team and a manufacturing site which is constantly bringing new people into the business. So we're given really, you know, giving back to the country, to our nation, and you know we're definitely flying that flag as, you know, potential global brand, which actually, you know, offers a tangible benefit to health. You know, we're not a snack brand.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just a fun marketing exercise. This is a product which is actually changing people's lives. And to date, we've now had over 10,000 positive customer testimonials of fundamentally life-changing events for people, and you know our customers are putting it down to our product.
Awesome.
So you touch upon the health benefits and the intense health benefits and the amazing things that turmeric supplements are able to achieve, and being at the heart of your story and almost your secret weapon, as you said, and also the business. I saw that you guys recently posted the results of a clinical trial, that proved that the turmeric supplementation does in fact improve markers and for recovery in elite footballers. Could you elaborate a little bit on the actual results and that was stated, and explain how important this is for your brand?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, firstly, it's really important that, you know, there are a lot of turmeric supplements on the market. There are also a lot of turmeric extracts on the market. So, you know, the whole education around this area is really important, because curcumin is the active, known active compound within turmeric, and it's the one that a lot of people will reference in studies, and you'll find a lot of, say for example, curcumin supplements on Amazon. Okay. Yeah. Now, curcumin is a curcuminoid found within raw turmeric root. There are over 100 different curcuminoids within turmeric root itself. So we're very passionate about the fact that we are going back to source. We're bringing a root which obviously has been used for millennia to support various different health ailments, but we're bringing that in a convenient and bioavailable form alongside a blend of other high quality functional ingredients. Mm-hmm. So what we're delivering isn't a supplement, it's actually a highly functional food. Now, the importance of that is that, you know, people are getting sucked in, and will get sucked in typically, you know, because there's extracts, you know, there's capsules, there's tablets, but we're very passionate about, and we understand the importance of actually having a food first approach. And so that's firstly, you know, something we're very passionate about. But then on top of that, what we've realized is obviously, okay, you know, the blend, and whether it's because of the raw turmeric or whether it's because of the watermelon, you know, we're crushing several tons of whole watermelon on a weekly basis. You know, yeah, that's one of our key base ingredients. Whether it's the watermelon because of its, you know, antioxidant properties, whether it's the pineapple, you know, which we also, you know, flesh every single week. But what we know is it's a combination, because we also combine the finished liquid with a black pepper mix of a number of black pepper ingredients alongside a fat soluble in flax oil. So this blend is really what we know is helping people. Yeah, so it's not a turmeric supplement on the shelf, off the shelf from Boots, Holland and Barrett. It is a blend which we've developed and perfected over, you know, nearly over 20 years now. So the big thing for us was like, you can now get a turmeric shot in Pret, you can get a turmeric shot in M&S, but if you spin the bottle and look at the ingredients, you'll see that it's 98% apple juice.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, this apple juice is either pasteurized or heat treated through processing. So when you heat treat a raw ingredient, you compromise its nutritional compounds, right? So you're actually reducing the nutritional impact of this ingredient. So when you have a turmeric shot masquerading as a functional product, when actually it is just an apple juice shot with a sprinkle of spice on top, it's very hard as a brand who offers a high quality, high functional range and product like ours to sit next to that product on shelf and communicate that message to customers.
In such a small bottle as well, right?
In such a small bottle. Yeah. Like, how can you tell the difference? So, there's a reason why I'm telling this. The big area that we realized that we needed to focus on was validation. So for us, it was like, at this point in 2021, we had had thousands of testimonials. But because it's a food, legally you're not actually allowed to make claims on health benefits. Even if you can clearly demonstrate that this product has literally changed someone's life. And I'm talking about people who have arthritis in their hands, can't hold a pencil, and after using the product for 6 weeks can write again. You know, so it's like, but this is the power of food. And, you know, people like, you know, when you look at history, people like Hippocrates have always spoken about, let food be thy medicine and let medicine be thy food.
Yeah.
So, validation. How do we validate it, right? So we realized that we needed to actually create data around the product. And so what we basically did in 2020 was identify a research partner. We were like, you know, who can we partner with to really begin to build awareness around and validate our product range for people to use. And so we partnered with Nottingham Trent University. We then, obviously up until this point, a big part of where we distribute into is sports, because, you know, elite athletes are very hyper-conscious of their body, so they know what really makes a difference.
Yeah.
And typically in sports, particularly football, you have the elite nutritionists involved as well. So the elite nutritionists know things a decade before it comes to mainstream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they know that actually this is a good product, and this isn't a good product. Mm-hmm. And they'll break down why. So we were able, as a brand, to leverage these relationships because we had such a unique and high quality and effective product. So we now work with over 100 nutritionists who endorse, validate, back, and support our product range. And so we leverage those relationships and basically align with an elite sports team and managed somehow to allow them to run, allow us to run a clinical trial on their first team players.
Yeah.
So we ended up running a clinical trial tracking inflammation blood markers and subjective muscle soreness lower body and upper body over an elite group of sportsmen for 18 people over a 4 to 5 month period. And so what we were testing was post-activity muscle soreness, muscle pain, full body pain, and inflammation blood markers. And long story short, when using the product, there was a 75% reduction in inflammation in the blood and a 50% reduction in muscle soreness. So for us, this is major validation. And the study itself was completely independent. You know, we had no control of the results. And for us, the results could have been completely opposite, but it still would have been published.
Yeah.
So it was a massive risk, so to speak, for a brand and as a business to do that. But we have so much passion about what we're doing, and we're seeing firsthand the impact that the product is having on people's lives, that we know that something is happening when people use our product.
Mm.
So for us now as a business and as a brand, within a very saturated consumer packaged goods and ready to drink space, we now see an opportunity to set a barometer, set a marker for standards of products claiming to be healthy or functional.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you actually look at the wider market of whether it's supplements, functional beverages, no brands want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Even the biggest of the big brands, they don't want to do this.
Too risky.
Too risky.
Yeah.
And actually, they know, because they put profit before customer.
So it's really not a risk at all. They know that the results are going to be poor. They wouldn't do it.
Exactly.
Is there a fear, though, that with all this great work you guys are doing, there's... Have you patented the product itself, the recipe? Or is it there a thing where... Eventually, I know you can't make health claims, but obviously the data speaks for itself. Companies come in, they've got the budget, maybe a little bit of sniffing around, saying, oh, actually, this is something that is actually quite valid now. Is there a fear there, potentially, of some, not pinching necessarily, but
copycatting
almost, yeah.
And again, so this was a massive step for us as a business. So we invested heavily early on in our business into the manufacturer.
Mm.
Now, this was... As strategic as it has been, it was kind of by chance, because when we actually were looking to launch the brand and the product, so 2016, we want to bring this to market, we spoke to the leading contract manufacturers in the UK and in Europe to produce the product for us.
Yeah.
And so a contract manufacturer is someone who produces a product for a brand.
Mm.
To put things in perspective, 95% of the products that you see on shelf are made by contract manufacturers, not by brands. The brand is simply the front-facing vehicle of the product.
Mm.
So what that means is that that brand has no IP, that brand has no control over that product. It's a completely different third party. And a lot of the time, when you look at, say, a bay of juice, and again, I'm only learning this in more detail because I'm in the industry and because I'm beginning to, you know, obviously have these discussions with retailers. The majority, say there are 20 different products on shelf in a fridge bay in a supermarket.
Mm.
Those 20 different products are probably made by 3 to 5 manufacturers.
Yeah.
So what that means is you've almost got the same product coming out of the same manufacturing site with simply a different label on.
Yeah.
And so consumers don't know this. Customers don't know this. And this is the power of marketing and branding. You know, this is the industry that obviously, you know, you guys, everyone's in, right? So this is, but I'm pulling back the layers and actually showing what it is, because for us, we manufacture our own product. And we only do that because the top manufacturers refuse to make our product for us. They said, the quality is too high. Mm. We don't process raw turmeric root. We want turmeric liquid, which is turmeric and water, processed, heat treated, and put in a shipping container, typically from India or parts of Asia, delivered to us. Mm. And that's what we'll put in our functional shots.
Yeah.
And it has zero functional benefit. So the fact that we were refused manufacture made us go down the route of scaling this and developing this unique extraction and production process ourselves. Mm. So we know firsthand, no one in the world manufactures functional shots or any form of beverage like we do. Mm. And ultimately, like you said, patenting, right? So let's go patent it. Well, when you're in an industry which is, you know, like you said, there's a lot of copycats in this industry. When you patent something, it becomes visibly but it becomes visible to everyone.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
So when you patent something, it becomes known. Mm. So I'll ask you something. What's the secret process for, what's the secret ingredient in Coca-Cola? Do you know that? Do you know what it is?
I'm going to say back in the day, something that probably is quite illegal now, but now...
But there is a secret... No, so they have a secret blend. They have a secret blend. And do you know what patent number it is? That's because they haven't got one. It's their proprietary recipe.
Right.
So that's the way you do it. So it's a secret blend and process which is locked within the IP of the company, which isn't patented. So that's what we—that's how we have done it within our business and within the manufacturer.
Awesome. I like that. I like that. Yeah, very, very interesting. Just want to take a step back slightly and maybe ask a more light-hearted question this time, which might yield actually a longer story. But what's the most surprising reaction or funniest reaction you've seen to someone trying a turmeric shot before?
I've seen every single reaction possible, I think. I've seen people literally have one and then drink another 10 shots in the space of like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I've seen people sip it and, you know, throw it away and say, this is the most disgusting thing ever. And then I've seen people who, you know, are thinking that it's going to be bad, taste it, and are actually really pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest, that's probably the majority of people, you know, because again, turmeric is not a well-known ingredient. When you actually, you know, we've done a lot of customer research, you know, if we're going into sort of company and structure, you know, data is massive for us. So we did really, you know, high bulks of customer research across different customer segments. And when you actually ask people, what is turmeric? People will say it's a spice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't actually realize that it's a root, you know, essentially a root vegetable. And so, yeah, there's a massive amount of education. And so we're very much on the, you know, on this innovation wave, you know, very much at the forefront of it, because we're building awareness, you know, we're validating, you know, we're working with, you know, healthcare professionals, we're working with nutritionists, we're working with elite sports teams, but we're also, you know, servicing, you know, people's grandmothers, right? People's parents, you know, we're really beginning to change people's lives in all different walks of lives, and that's ultimately, you know, our passion and what we want to do. And I think, you know, the time is now to make positive change, because we live in, you know, we're moving into the age of the Aquarius, you know, now. So it's like, you know, we're in the information age. Mm. You know, so it's like you can't suppress information anymore. 100 years ago, you know, information sources were libraries and schools. You know, so now you have, yeah, you can still go to a library, you can still go to a school, but you have the resource of technology to actually understand and gain information, and that information exchange is instant.
Yeah.
So it's like it cannot be suppressed anymore. I'm not saying that it's suppressed, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, there is you know, an agenda or anything like that, but fundamentally that you have to ask questions, you know. So why is turmeric root not used, you know, across healthcare? You know, why is it not used as a staple part? You know, why do we always look to certain industries to support health? You know, whether that's, you know, the medicinal industry, whether that's, you know, whatever it is. So, yeah, I think it's a really fascinating time.
Awesome. And what motivated the Turmeric Co. to touch on e-com now? Because you're starting to talk about customers and data. What motivated you to adopt a subscription-based model? I assume it's to do with, you know, it takes a certain amount of time for these products to really reap the benefits, but I'm keen to hear your sort of side on it.
Yeah, definitely. Look, so anything natural, consistency is key.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, when you actually strip it back, you know, we weren't meant to have quick fixes. Mm. You know, we were meant to, you know, take things that consistently over time have a compounding effect on our health, on our well-being, you know, on our minds. And so, yeah, you have to use the product over a consistent period of time to really experience the benefits. Now, from that perspective, it therefore fits perfectly into a subscription replenishment model.
Yeah.
You know, so there are various different subscription models, but as a replenishment, you know, you have a 14 or 28 shot box and you're going to replenish that every 14 or 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it drives that habit forming, it drives that, it allows us as a business and as a brand and as a product to communicate the message to the customer, you know, take them on that journey. And so when we were looking at launching the business, you know, it was like, okay, well, should we go into retail? You know, retail's a massive channel. You know, there's 10,000 locations in the UK alone across various different retail outlets. You know, you sell one shot a day at each location, that's 10,000 shots a day.
Yeah.
You know, that's a viable business in any world. And so, but the big thing for us was, as I said at the start, you know, we didn't want to be sat next to these other products which were ultimately inferior and were ultimately masquerading as a healthy or functional alternative when we've got less than a second to educate a customer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what we decided was, you know, we needed to build audience, we needed to build advocacy, we needed to build a community around the brand and educate people through that journey of utilizing the product and taking that health first approach.
Yeah.
And there is a massive wave now, you know, people, there are people who you would, you know, in terms of demographic, you'd be like, that person would never, ever use a turmeric shot, and they're subscribers.
Yeah.
You know, so like, we're breaking the norm, we're breaking the trends of old, and it's important because, you know, our healthcare is suffering, you know, our healthcare system is suffering, the health of society is suffering. One in four kids now leave primary school obese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these statistics, which are fundamentally down
yeah.
to our food system
yeah.
and to the infrastructures around each of those.
100%. And you've actually led me perfectly into my next question, you know, around when you subscribe, then the loyalty aspect, which I think you guys are doing some really cool stuff in this space. How important is gamification, like creating a loyalty program for your brand? Like you have the ability to earn points with Turmeric Co., which you can then, you know, save up or use for different things by completing certain tasks, right, in the community, which is what you're talking about. How does that play out? Could you give us some insights into the loyalty program and how that works?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we're, as a human race, you know, we're creatures of attention.
Mm.
You know, that's why, you know, the biggest industries in the world are attention-based.
Yeah.
Media,
yeah,
you know, like it's attention based yeah. because that's what we are. So that's how we make decisions. You know, we need to, if we're going to make a decision on something, we need to give it attention. And when we're giving it attention, then we're engaging it, and then that's when we're likely to take action. So in terms of that gamification side, it's actually just about creating more consumer touch points
yeah.
where you can garner attention and then utilize that attention to, as we said before, educate,
mm-hmm.
inform,
yeah.
you know, offer more value,
mm-hmm.
you know. So a lot of what we do from, you know, even from an ECRM perspective, you know, it's for the most part, it's about value add.
Yeah.
What value can we give to that customer? Where is that customer in their journey with the Turmeric Co?
Mm-hmm.
And what can we do to add value to their lives?
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately, as you begin to have that mentality, you then ultimately, you create the opportunity to increase your attention
yeah.
with that individual, with that customer.
Yeah.
So yeah. So in terms of like loyalty, you know, massive. So it's about, as we said, adding value to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we've got a loyal customer and they're purchasing every other week consistently over a 6 or 12 month period, we want to reward them.
Mm-hmm.
And the the most, the easiest way and the most practical way to do that is through loyalty, and whether it's through points, whether it's through referral programs, whether it's through engagement, so they're engaging with our social channels, they're engaging with our community, and they're getting rewarded for that because they're already passionate about the product.
Yeah.
They already know the product works, and that has been an important element in terms of building that community.
For sure.
So I imagine you've got a lot of connections from your days as a professional sportsman, and that paired with an incredible drive to help other elite athletes that have obviously helped you develop an impressive network, partnerships with sports clubs and also athletes. So what does the process look like for brands who are trying to form similar relationships, whether it be in sports or otherwise?
Yeah. No, it's a really good point and question. I think from my perspective, the majority of our partnerships, I'd probably say 95% of our partnerships have been inbound inquiries.
Wow.
So it's pretty crazy,
cool.
And I think obviously, the perception on that is, I'm a professional footballer or, played in the Premier League. Yeah. So I must have known the nutritionist over here and over there. Now, what did happen was, I was easier to find, so I was easier therefore to approach, but the majority of what we do from a partnership perspective in elite sports is inbound inquiries. We'll get an inbound, I'm not going to start dropping names, but we get inbound inquiries all of the time, and we actually are at the point now where we're having to say, look, just this is our wholesale site, we can't engage with them because it's so frequent. But the big thing for us is obviously, sports is massive. Again, we talk about attention, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that sports is a huge industry, and we know that elite athletes are finely tuned and very conscious, and they have, educated teams around them, whether it comes to nutrition, healthcare. So they're going to use products like ours. But actually, that's not our target market, and that's not our ideal customer profile who is purchasing week in and week out from our brand. And so it's kind of, that's literally just kind of happened organically in that sense, therefore. So, so the question is, if a brand's looking to do what we've done, in terms of the partnership area, have a product that bloody works.
Yeah, people will come to you.
Yeah. Have a product which is changing people's lives, truly, changing people's lives, and adds value to their lives.
Yeah.
And they will come to you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you mentioned wholesale there, so I wanted to jump over to that. How do you guys benefit through selling in alternative channels such as wholesale rather than just D2C?
Yeah, wholesale is an interesting one, for us as a brand, because our D2C has been so strong.
Yeah.
And we've got almost the perfect product for D2C.
Mm-hmm.
The only flip side, the only negative on our product in relation to D2C is the fact that it's chilled, but actually that we've turned that into a USP.
Yeah.
Because now when the customer experiences it, receives it, they have a full unboxing experience.
Yeah.
And it amplifies the quality of the product as opposed to it just being delivered in a cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think in terms of wholesale, the big thing in any business is obviously margins. Cash is king in business, so you have to really understand your bottom line. You need to be generating cash, and if you're not generating cash, then you need to have a significant budget and cash reserves and resource to fund operations and fund growth. And so I think as soon as you go into wholesale, you're typically adding an additional party to your value chain.
Yeah.
You're forfeiting the your bottom line essentially.
Yeah.
But typically what then happens is you then increase your distribution.
Yeah.
So it's so for us it's been an interesting area because we haven't had to, approach wholesale. We haven't had to be proactively saying, please distribute this product into 200 health stores, or into two, it has kind of happened organically and inbound because, as I said again, our obsession has been on the product.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so, but that being said, for us, I've spoke at the retail event a couple of months ago with you guys, and retail is a massive and important channel,
mm-hmm.
and that is for any e-com brand. And you know, I know a lot of founders in the space, you know, haven't been in the space now for a number of years, and businesses and brands who are solely D2C are creating a weak foundation,
mm-hmm.
in terms of their business, because ultimately you're relying on a single channel.
Yeah.
You know, now of course, you know, e-commerce is fantastic and we'll go through, you know, you can go to a million events and everyone's hyped about e-commerce and, you know, it is the next big thing. And of course, you know, when you look at trends, it is on an upward trajectory, you know, even still post-COVID, you know, when you look at the actual trend line from, you know, over the last decade, it's still on an upward trajectory.
Yeah.
So it's an industry to be in, but the biggest thing for brands, in my opinion, at this current stage is to be omnichannel, and
yeah.
you really have to like really understand it. So that means like that's a deep level of work, because you're now, you know, you've now got multiple different channels. You're now creating complexity into your business.
Yeah.
You know, you're now, which and a lot of the time complexity creates confusion, which
mm-hmm.
then creates issues, errors, mistakes, and then your quality, your service level drops.
Yeah.
And you can't have your service level drop.
No.
So it's super, super important that, you know, you have the infrastructures in place and you're obsessive around each of those elements, you know, whether it be the margin per channel, you know, the distribution, like even down to logistics costs, like really understanding like everything to a T, so you can begin to understand where is their value across the business and what do I want to then invest in terms of growth channels. Because there's no point investing, you know, £4 million a year into paid media on D2C and through your e-commerce channel if actually you're continually running a loss and actually
yeah.
the customers you're acquiring are churning almost instantly. You know, so it has no sense whatsoever, but you see brands and businesses, particularly in e-commerce, doing this all the time. So I think it's about, you know, really having a robust infrastructure and having diversification across your business, which then creates optionality. And then if you really understand each of the elements of your business, you can then begin to allocate resources in areas which will drive ultimately growth, but then drive profit as well.
Yeah. So on the Turmeric Co's omni-channel strategy journey, what would you say has been the biggest challenge that you faced when implementing the omni-channel strategy?
Yeah, I think just really understanding each channel as deep and detailed as possible. You know, so it's a challenge, right? So it's like, you know, when you go into wholesale, it's a completely different channel, different distributors, you know, different calculations, different margins, different costs, you know, so, and sometimes even different packaging as well. So it's like really understanding in depth each channel.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. So whether you're going direct to consumer through your e-commerce store, you know, we use Shopify Plus, whether you're going into Amazon, you know, you could do fulfilled by Amazon, but we actually do seller fulfilled, you know, Prime, so we're, you know, we will fulfill ourselves, but we obviously sell on Amazon. So then into wholesale, okay, so what does wholesale look like? Is it going into a distributor? Is it going into, you know, storage and then going out? And you know, so there's so many variables, and then obviously into retail, you know, so what's the opportunity in retail? Yeah, it's been super, super interesting, and we're very much on that journey, you know. So we're living and breathing this on a daily basis, and we're developing constantly these infrastructures and channels, and you know, ultimately creating these opportunities and optionality for the business. And you know, the next 12, 18 months are going to be super exciting, because you know, over the last 24 months, we've invested immensely into our infrastructure,
mm.
you know, immensely. And so now it's about how do we begin to leverage that investment, because now we've got a foundation which no other brand, no other business at our stage in the UK has.
And I saw a little sneak peek, I suppose, on your LinkedIn earlier this week, sort of maybe on the more retail space, saying stay tuned. So for anyone listening, stay tuned with Turmeric Co. It sounds like there's big stuff coming, so we're really excited to watch that too. Before we wrap up, I'm just curious to know, we typically end with one question, which is basically, what is your favorite retail brand to shop at? Can't be Turmeric Co.
Nice. So a brand,
It doesn't have to be, retail. It could be e-commerce, just brands. Yeah.
Okay. There's too many to choose from. Not because I shop a lot, but I like brands and I like, I like good things. So there's different like benchmarks, I think, in terms of, you know, how much a brand invests into brand, how much a brand invests into functionality. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, what's the function? Because people will, you know, sometimes land on a website and it'd be like, oh, this is beautiful, but then it doesn't function purposely. Yeah. You know, the purpose of a website is ultimately to convert.
Yeah.
So I think like that combination of brand layered with functionality, i.e. what's the purpose that you're trying to create, is ultimately like the key. Mm-hmm. And so I'd probably say over the last 12 or 24 months, the brand I've been most impressed with, apart from the Turmeric, obviously, is Goli.
Okay.
So Goli Gummies. So they're an American brand. They do gummies. Gummies are not that good. So just to put it out there, like they're full of sugar. You know, it's not a liquid format.
It's not a turmeric shot.
It's not a turmeric shot, obviously. But when you look at brand and how to launch brand and create hype, but actually sustained hype, you know, when you look at the guys at Prime, that's not sustained hype.
Yeah.
Because as soon as they fall out with one another, the brand dies.
Yeah.
You know, and let alone that the product is now, you know, causing a lot of health issues for people.
Mm.
You know, that's unsustained. Unsustained and unsustainable hype, sorry.
Yeah.
And so I'd say Goli have done it pretty well, so check them out if you want to have a look.
As you said about Prime, boxing match waiting to happen, final question: who is your money on, KSI or Logan Paul?
Okay. So KSI didn't fight Logan Paul, that was his brother.
Did it?
You should have known your stats before you came in with that question, mate.
It's time for me to go back to the drawing
board. One of the Paul brothers versus KSI.
No, it did
actually fight. It's very true.
Yeah, I think that's why there was such a hype around it. Because they came and then they were like, oh, we're now partnering. I think that was the hype train. So
artificial hype, yeah.
Artificial hype, yeah. And that's all for show, you know. It's all a show for attention, as we say.
And we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Good work, Ben. awesome. So thanks so much for joining us, Thomas. It's been an incredibly insightful conversation. So for our listeners who want to find out more about the Turmeric Co., where can they do so?
Yeah, so just type the Turmeric Co. into Google. You know, we'll pop right up, or visit us on or any social channels at the Turmeric Co. You know, we're actively involved in our community. We're building a really unique movement around, you know, food first, health and wellness through nutrition, and ultimately high quality ingredients. And we've got so many resources. You know, we're now partnering with healthcare companies. We're partnering with doctors and more nutritionists to utilize their expertise to actually add value to our community too. So, you know, definitely if you're conscious about your health and you want to be, you know, don't just be thinking that, you know, when I have an issue, I will then deal with it.
Mm.
Because, you know, the old adage of, you know, cause and effect, and actually being an issue happens and then I'm going to treat it, right? So the whole treatment industry has actually crippled health of society. Like, you know, think about prevention. Think about longevity, you know, because you can create longevity in your life and you can prevent, you know, various ailments and issues.
Yeah, and I guess that's something you guys do really well. We talked on the education piece. If they go to your website, they can find heaps of like proactive articles on what things they can be doing to give themselves a prolonged life and healthy life. Okay. I won't speak on your behalf. As always, big thank you to our sponsors, Sook, for their continued support. If you're looking to get on the UK high streets without committing to long-term leases, be sure to check them out at sook.space. And we're Excellent Zephyr, as everyone knows by now, a leading digital agency for ERP and integration services, specifically for retail brands. So if you're interested in finding out about us, check out excellentzephyr.com, and we'll catch you next time on WTF is Retail. Thanks, Thomas.
WTF is Retail, presented by Excellent Zephyr, your ERP, integration, and automation specialists.